Buenos días. Buenas tardes, Laura. Buenas tardes, Laura. Buongiorno. Buongiorno, Principe. It has been a really good week, and we have arrived at our last day here. So, come on, do the face. Good. Well done. So, and we are really, I think as Stephen said, grateful to God at first. He has been really good with us. And we have seen him at work. And we have met other Christians. And even though we come from different places, we have the same passion, the same God. And here we are today to hear. We are together to learn a bit more about him. And I chose this book, Haggai. I don't know if you came across Haggai before. When I was, maybe, actually, let's say 3 years ago, 4 years ago, if somebody would have told me, do you know Haggai? I would say, no, I don't speak German, or I don't speak, I don't know, Scottish. But when I read this book, it's actually two chapters, so I really encourage you to read Haggai. It's only two chapters. Wow, what a story. What a story, and how many, and there are a lot of things that we can take from there and apply to our life. Just need to make sure I use this and not that. Haggai, and I always like to put a title, to invent a title, like Losing God's Blessing. This will be the title for Haggai. And I always like to ask questions. So losing God's blessing, does it have anything to do with God's time? And what is the first thing in my life? So I want you to go to Haggai. Okay, we can do this. We go to Matthew and then we go back some pages and we will find Haggai. Just to give you a bit of background, the people of Israel, the people of God, they were in exile. They spent a lot of years there. They came back. When they returned to the land, to their land, the land was destroyed, so they needed to start building. And God said something. I want you to build my temple. The temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. And they started building the temple. They were really challenged by God. They were really encouraged by God. They started building the temple, but at a point, something happened, and they stopped. And they started building beautiful houses for them. I don't know if you remember, just in case you don't know, sometimes the Bible called the temple the house of God. So instead of continuing building the house of God, they started building their own houses. And the house of God was left incomplete. And they started working in their land, in the fields, and they realized that actually the crop wasn't enough. So, and we will read here, they planted, I don't know, 10 seeds, and they only got 4, or 3, or 5. They asked for rain, and the rain never came. So there is something wrong, and God needs to speak. So he speaks to Haggai and he starts. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it the time for you yourself to be living in your panel houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty said: give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hand. Verse 2 says, the time has not yet come. Why? They stopped building the temple and they started building their houses. Why? And if we read Ezra and Nehemiah, we have the whole picture of the story. They were discouraged by their enemies. I mean, they returned to the land, but the enemies were there. They were still there. So they were discouraged. And actually, people inside the land, their own mates, they were enemies inside the land. They're like, why are you going to build a temple? Why? No, don't build a temple. And there were strange people in the land. They wanted to help, but they said, no, don't help us. They became their enemies. There were people who weren't interested in the rebuilding of the temple. And I was thinking about this. It's like, come on. They return to a land that is empty. They don't have houses. And God says, build a temple. Instead of saying, build a house where you will be warm, where you will be fine, where you will have your own property, and then build my temple, because you need a roof. But God doesn't say that, and God says, go and build a temple. That's really strange. That really caught my attention. But there is something that we will learn about this later. God says, build a temple, and then build your houses. There were people that they wanted to build their houses, not the temple. And here, there is something really strong when God calls his people, these people. That's really strong. Why? Through the Old Testament, you find God saying to his people, or calling his people, my children. But at this point, I don't know, God has reached a level where he cannot say, these are my people, these are my children. And he has to say, these people. I don't know about you, but sometimes it happens to me that when I am not doing what God wants me to do, when I am not behaving in the way he wants me to behave, when I do my things and I don't do his things, I find that I am nowhere in a moment. And sometimes I find that I'm betraying God, I'm betraying my dad. And I wonder if sometimes he will say about me, this guy, instead of saying, my son, my child. I wonder if God will reach that level of love, I don't know, or lack of love, in the sense of say, of calling me this guy and not my boy or my child. But that makes us think a bit how we are living today. They lived in beautiful houses, very well built houses, and the temple, his house, God's house, was in ruin. And God is really straightforward. He's really direct with his people. Verse 6, 9, 11, and 10. Like, you will not be prospered until you build my temple. You have to do my thing first. Consider your ways. Consider how you are living. Is that not a call to us to consider how we are living today? Why we do the things we do? Maybe God is saying to you, go and preach to your neighbor. You have lived 11 years, 10 years, 5 years next to your neighbor and you have never talked to him about me, go and do that. But we will start to evangelize another area and not my neighbor. That happened to me, so I'm not saying anything here. That happened to me. So it may be God saying, okay, do the things I want you to do and then do your own business. Consider your ways. And verse 8 is really nice. Go up into the mountains or hills and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Go up to the hills and bring wood. And I like this illustration. I don't want the one you're using for your houses. Why? When we read the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, God met his people where? In mountains, in hills, in heights. Now, these people, they were taking the wood from there without any effort. They were taking, cutting trees, producing wood, and building their houses. Now God said, go up to the hills and bring the wood from there. I don't want the one you are using for your houses. I don't want the things you use to do your own business. I want you to go up there to the hill. I want you to put an effort and bring the wood and build my house. But now there's another illustration here, another symbolism here. The hills are a symbol of the presence of God. So God is saying, you're not spending time with me. So I want you to go there. And while you walk, think about it, consider, and bring the wood from there and build my temple. Once you meet me, come back and meet and build my temple. When Jesus prays in the New Testament, we find him praying where? Most of the time he's in high hill. He's spending time with God. So now this is the reason, one of the reasons he's saying, go up to the hills, put an effort, spend time with me. And there is another thing. Usually, in a part of the Jewish calendar, they need to go uphill. And while they were going uphill, they needed to pray and sing some. Maybe this was the time, we don't know, but maybe it was a time like to go there thinking where God took them from. God took them from Egypt, but then they failed in loving God, in obeying God. They went to exile, but again, God took them back. So there was a way like, go, walk, remember, talk to me, look back, meet me, and come down and build a temple. Amazing. God wants us to build his temple. We are temple of God. God has his time. It's not about us. God has his time. Why was the house so important? Two things. It represented God's dwelling, where God was living. But it also represented God's presence. In a sense, if they were saying, okay, when we're going to build a temple, they were saying, we don't want the presence of God here with us. That is the thing they were saying. We don't want the presence of God with us. That's really hard. That's really hard. I am not God, but I can't imagine this God, that's loving God, saying to them, build a temple because I want to be there. I want to be with you. And they say, we don't really want you here. We're going to do our own thing. Aren't we like that sometimes? We need to spend time with God. We need to look for his presence. We need to look for his will. And there is more information there. When the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, Ezekiel says the presence of God left the temple. So the presence of God wasn't there anymore. So the reconstruction of the temple invited the return of God's presence with his people. Let's go to chapter 2. They start building the temple. They build the temple at the end. So, whoa, they got it right. They got the message. They went uphill, they brought the wood, and they finished the temple. But they finished the temple, and the problem continued. They had something in front of their eyes. Verse 2 of chapter 2 says, don't be discouraged. In the sense, it says, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? It's interesting. God is saying, build my temple. They go, they build a temple, and now they have this thing here, this temple, and God is saying, does it look like nothing? In a sense, verse 2 and 3 is like, don't be discouraged because of what you see. You don't see the big picture. And Ezra tells us something more. The old people were crying when they saw the temple finished. They were crying. Two things. They remember the destruction of the temple. And they remember the former glory. They remember the good time, because we will see soon the pictures. This was Solomon's temple, the previous temple before they built it. Solomon's temple, it was full of gold. It was the biggest temple maybe that they have seen so far in that time. It was Solomon used very good things, very good materials to build the temple. That was the temple of Solomon. That is the thing the old people were remembering. Okay? Have you seen the picture? Okay. And this is what they built. So the old people were remembering this thing, and suddenly they saw this. And God said, does it look like nothing? Does it happen to us that we remember the old time when the church was full of kids and we ran Sunday school and there were like 50 kids, 60 kids, and all of them were quiet there learning about God, and we could share Bible stories and they were there, and in school maybe you were free to talk about God? Or you remember the old time when the church was crowded with young people and they were eager to go outside and tell other people about God? The old good times. They remember, they cried, but the old good times are not anymore. There's a new present with God. Build a temple, look my presence now, look for my presence now, and I will give you a new task. And the other thing is, don't be discouraged because of what you see now. Don't be discouraged because you don't see the big picture. You have seen a lot of good things years ago, maybe. You have seen a church crowded of young people, with kids, with a lot of families. Don't be discouraged with the situation now. You don't see the big picture. As far as you look for God's presence, things will have a happy ending. And verse 9 says, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. I am finishing now. Verse 11 to 14, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, ask the priest what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, become defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with these people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, they are defiled. And now they finished the temple. They saw the temple. God said, don't be discouraged, but God will remind them about something else. Why? Even though the temple wasn't finished at that time, they continued offering. They continued bringing the offering. So, can you imagine this? So, there's no temple, actually. Maybe the basement or some walls here and there. And they continue bringing offering. It's in a sense, doesn't it remind you sometimes, like, people like say, okay, from Monday to Saturday, I will behave as I want to behave. But on Sunday, when I come here, God will know my heart. Like, he knows that I am a sinner and he will forgive me. And it's like Is it that easy? Is it that easy? Is it that easy? I don't know. It's like, I do whatever I want. Anyway, on Sunday I come here, I meet my fellow Christians, and we're all in peace, where I am sanctified by them. It's not like that. It's not like I can do whatever I want, and then I come here, and because I meet in this place that is a Christian church, I become more holy. No, it's not like that. That's what is happening here. This is what is happening. So God is saying now something to them. Now you're going to start doing my work from now on, but I want you to learn about this. I want you to learn about holiness. And the main requirement to do my work is holiness. The main requirement. Verse 12, in other words, righteousness is not contagious, but sin is contagious. So, you understand there? It's like, if I come here, I will not be holy because I come here. But if I go to places, if I meet the wrong people, if I spend my time doing the wrong things, that will really make me unholy. Verse 14, they continued bringing offerings while they didn't pay attention to the temple. As I said, their offerings weren't accepted because of their sin. What a waste of time. What a waste of money. If you think, or if I think, that we're going to win God's favor or God's blessing because of what we do, because of what we give to Him, it doesn't, without having in mind how we live every day, that's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of money. If you think that we are going to cheat on God, if we're going to say, okay, God, I give you this, or if we're going to pay bribe to God, we are totally wrong. We cannot do that. God looks at our heart. He doesn't look at our offering, really. We continue and we finish. Verse 15. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10, and he continued with the thing. He said something. Now, just summarizing. Before you start working, think how you are living. God doesn't like you to work, to do things for Him, if you don't consider how you're living with Him. Have you spent time with God? That's the same in Bible college. I mean, you can be there in Bible college. We are not say, and we said before, like, we are the same as you. We're not better, we're not worse. Even if you're in Bible college and you can be here, you can do children's talk, you can do preach here, you can chair, you can go outside, deliver newspapers, but if you're not having time with God, God is not looking at your work. God is not looking at us. God is looking at our hearts. If we're not okay with Him, nothing that we do will be received in God's presence. Consider, remember how you are living today. And when they were in need, they didn't turn to God. Verse 18, 19. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundations of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. But from this day on, I will bless you. Why? Because they were obedient. They were being obedient. Now they finished the temple. They learned what is holiness. From this day on, I will bless you. Even though the situation looks bad now, yeah, because of the consequences of the past, I will bless you because you turn to me. That's a calling from God saying, come to me again, come to me, look for me, search me, desire me, and I will bless you. What can we learn? And I finish. To examine our priorities, they started building their houses instead of God's temple. To confess our failures and seek to live holy life before God. To act courageously for God because we have the assurance that He is with us always and is in full control of our circumstances. And then, if you can read Habakkuk, read Habakkuk. I will not go there, to know that that God will abundantly bless us as we faithfully serve Him. And this is the end. To look for God when we are in discouraging circumstances. This is the big picture. And I will say that again. Don't be discouraged by what you see now. God sees the big picture. The good times were good. The old times were good. Yeah, they were, but they are not coming anymore. That's why they are old times. We need to look to God. And I want to finish in verse 3 and verse 7 of chapter 2. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Just the beginning of verse 4. But now be strong. Let's go to verse 7. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 9, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. This house looked like nothing. The glory of this house will be greater than the former house. But this is something I highlight there. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. Another version says, the desire by all nations will come. And the desire by all nations went to that temple. It was like nothing. It was horrible. It was poor. But the desire by all nations, Jesus Christ, was in that temple. They didn't see the big picture. That really touched my heart. My heart, why? Sometimes we come to church and we're discouraged because of the situation. We run a youth group and only one appear, two appear. We run children's club. Nobody pay attention to us. We go and preach our neighbors about God. And actually we lose friendship. And we're discouraged. But God is saying, you're doing my will. You're looking for my presence. Don't be discouraged. You don't see the big picture. They didn't know that the Messiah was going to arrive at that temple. They didn't know that in that temple the Messiah was going to heal people. The Messiah was going to clean the temple. That the Messiah was going to bring perfection to the temple with His presence. The presence of God at that moment was tangible. They could see the Messiah. They could see God. They didn't know that. They didn't know that. And the Messiah brought salvation. And that is the salvation most of us are enjoying today. He came. He was in that temple. He preached. And then He died on the cross. And then He rose again. And He's waiting for us. But meanwhile, He wants us to look for His presence. He wants us to be with Him. Don't look for activities. Look for the presence of God. And the blessing will come. And we will make the heart of God. We will bring joy to the heart of God. That was the message for today. I hope that we will all be encouraged by this. God has His time. Let's look for Him. Let's look for His presence. Let's pray.